Blog Talk Radio.
Attention! Army wives, fall in!
You're tuned to the Internet Talk Radio Show designed specifically for Army Wives. Our life, our family, our soldier.
Brought to you by the Army Wife Network. Interactive empowerment for Army Wives. It's Army Wife Talk Radio. Up-to-the-minute information is right here with special reports, stories, interviews, and more.
Now reporting for duty, your host, the AWN Core Team.
Hello, Army families. Welcome to Army Wife Talk Radio, the internet podcast designed specifically for you by Army Wife Network Core Team. This is show 497, and I'm your host, Allison Poulter.
And I'm your co-host, Paula Swanson, and today is Monday, November 17th, 2014, and we're glad that you've decided to hang out with us tonight.
That is right. There is always a party going on over here at Army Wife Network. So if you're listening to our show live right now, join us in our Twitter party chat. It's a fun, easy way to follow our chat, and we use TweetChat to do that. Tune over to our blogtalkradio.com/AWTR and then open tweetchat.com/room/armywife. Put the two together and you get us and the Twitter party. Besides the awesome chat and great guests, we have giveaways that you'll only catch on Twitter, so you won't want to miss out. You can also follow along at twitter.com/armywifenetwork and use the hashtag armywife to participate.
That's right. And tonight, the show is brought to you by our AWTR show sponsor, TDP MetLife. While defending our nation, you can protect your family's smiles and save with the TRICARE Dental Program. Enroll today. You can learn more at metlife.com/TRICARE or just give them a call at 1-855-MET-TDP-1. That's 1-855-MET-TDP-1. And they'll
That's
get you
right.
hooked up.
That's right. They sure will.
That's right.
Tonight on AWTR, we have Linda Spangle, and she is bringing her weight loss coaching abilities at Weight Loss for Life, Inc. over to our show tonight. You can check her out at Linda M. Spangle over on Twitter, at weightlossjoy.com, and over on facebook.com/Linda M. Spangle. We also have our Me Minute for you this evening. But before we get to that, we have some catching up to do. Paula, it has been ages since you and I have gotten to host together, and I'm super excited. What's been going on in your Army wife life lately, my dear?
Oh, my goodness. Let's see. Well,
that was a big sigh, Paula.
Woo! I'm exhausted. No, I've actually had a lot of I guess I really can't say non-Army wife life stuff, Army wife life stuff going on. But let's see. I've just completed and graduated from the Metro Nashville Police Department's Citizens Academy. I did that last week. And then
so cool.
This week, I know, I'm very excited about that. And then this week is the graduation from the Advanced Tennessee Highway Patrol Citizens Academy. But unfortunately, I will not make that graduation because it is tomorrow evening. And I will be at the Crooks House tomorrow evening.
Well, that sounds like a party because it's not just you and Miss Crooks.
I know.
Who else will be there?
And Miss Emily and Janet and Corey. And we're just going to be missing you and Jennifer.
I know. So, I'm sorry. I can't make it to Oklahoma this time. Next time.
Well, that's okay. I mean, we're headed to Fort Sill for our field exercise that we'll talk about here in a little bit. I've been really busy with finishing up my two Citizens Academies. They were a lot of fun. Had a good time. I actually did I don't know if I talked about this before or not, but I actually did a ride along a couple of weeks ago with the Tennessee Highway Patrol and rode along.
Did you
with
catch
a
bad
really
guys?
Oh my gosh. It was so much fun. Actually rode with a super high-speed trooper that's actually, and Emily will appreciate this, he is in the National Guard, and he just graduated from flight school, and he's a Black Hawk pilot. He was super cool, really nice, you know, got the whole military thing and that sort of thing. And so he and another trooper that we kind of did calls with and that sort of stuff, they were really cool. Yeah, let me tell you, I went 125 miles an hour down the interstate. On our way to an accident scene, and that was really interesting. And then, let's see, we pulled some speeders over, and so he was really funny because he was like, "Okay, ride along. Are we going to give them a ticket?" I'm like, "Well, let's check them out first, you know." And then the one person, I said, "You know, they were from out of state." So I said, let's extend them some Southern hospitality and give them a warning. And so that's actually what he told the driver. He said, "Hey, my ride along said that we're said my ride along said that we're going to extend you some Southern hospitality and let you off with a warning."
Look, so this is fun. Why I still have Kansas plates in Maryland. We've been here for like 18 months. I'm not changing those bad boys ever. So what happens next? What's the next?
What's the next one? Well, I think I've done just about all of them that I can do around here. I guess I need to start looking into the fire departments because I think they have citizens academies too. So
sign
I think
up
I'm gonna
for
start...
that, please. That sounds like
yeah,
a
I think,
fun time.
Yeah, I think I might try that. But then I was also just recently reelected as the president of the FBI Citizens Academy Alumni Association for the Nashville chapter. So I got enough going on. And then I guess the biggest thing now, like you and I were talking about earlier, I can't believe that it's Thanksgiving next week.
I know it.
I mean,
know
that's
it.
Just crazy. That's crazy.
It really is. I felt like it came up out of nowhere and smacked me right in the face.
Oh, absolutely. And I'm excited, though, because, and this does not happen very, very often, all four of my kids are actually going to be home, in town, around. We're actually all going to be in the same place together, and that's always fun. So I'm looking forward to that. This is so funny. My oldest daughter has kind of taken over and delegated certain things to me and to her siblings and that sort of stuff. So we have a whole list of who's doing what. So I'm cooking the turkey.
Well, that makes it a family affair. I think that's really cool.
Absolutely. Absolutely. So, yeah, we're all pitching in and cooking. So, yep.
That's
so
fun.
What about you? You've got
a lot
of stuff that you've been doing.
We did. I have. Yes. It's kind of been a whole family affair. But so on the 8th, we just finished this community event that I've been organizing for months and months. Remember, it started as this, I want to help and be a part of the community. And they were like, here, do this. So we had over 200 people there. We raised over $12,000. So almost $13,000 for two charities that both aid and train and pair veteran service dogs. There was a 5K race and a dog walk, vendor tables and speakers and colors presented, and it was a whole big, it was awesome. It was awesome. For a first go in a non-military community, it was an awesome, awesome day. It was so fun.
That is incredible.
So, yeah, and I haven't been that exhausted in a really long time. But I got home and I just couldn't turn my brain off, like thinking about next year and what I wanted to add or change or make different in some way. So we're already starting on next year. So I'm really excited about it. It was an awesome, awesome day. It was a lot of fun.
That sounds like a lot of fun.
It really was. But I feel like that's what made Thanksgiving kind of smack me in the face because I didn't really think about anything other than that. And then that was over, and I looked at my calendar, and I was like, oh, man, Thanksgiving's in, like, 2 weeks, and now it's a week away. So we have two to go to, one that we will be providing, helping cook for, But because we live so close to both sides of our family, we're going to go mm-hmm. and do one this Sunday and then the other side of the family on Thanksgiving Day.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, which that hasn't happened
like
in years because we were so far away. So it kind of, it's like a feast or famine thing, but we will take the
yeah.
feast. We'll take the
yeah.
feast. So we're really excited about that, too.
Yeah. Well, that's kind of
yeah,
that's kind of us, too. Yeah.
Yeah, because you've had them all spread out for a while, too, haven't you?
Yeah. Yeah, not only that, but it's like my son-in-law has to work on Thanksgiving Day. And because, like, I mean, like a lot, and I know a lot of military families deal with this, too, when you've got blended families and that sort of stuff, you know, the kids, their dad and I, you know, divorced after, you know, 20 years. And so, you know, now they, you know, they have to, you know, and I understand they want to spend time with their dad. They want to spend time with me. Then, you know, my stepson goes to, you know, his mom's and that's, so we've just gotten to where we just kind of work around it. And, so our big, with my kids, our big Thanksgiving will be on Saturday and then we'll do stuff with Brent's. Yeah. We'll do stuff with Brent's family on Thursday, that sort of stuff. So we'll have like 3 days of feasting. So it all works out. It all works out.
Well, and I feel like this life just kind of lends itself to that. You know, we sort of moved it around so that we could spend the holiday with both families. It may not be on the
mm-hmm.
day, but it's with both families. Whereas
sure.
when we were coming in from Kansas, it was, we're here for 4 days. So if we eat for 4 days, that's what we do to see everybody. So it's a little easier now that we're in the same state. It's still a little bit of juggling though to make sure everybody feels equally loved. You know what I mean?
Right. No, I get it. I understand that.
But,
yeah.
So, no, I just can't believe it's starting this weekend. I just can't.
Crazy.
But then after that is Christmas, and I haven't even started that yet. Haven't even started.
I'm not even going there.
Right?
I know. It's crazy. I will say that I did buy my first Christmas gift for one of my grandsons the other day.
What you can.
But other than
did
that, I just...
listen to the show?
You know, he's 3.5 months old, so I don't think he has to worry about it.
Okay, so what'd you get him?
Actually, I got him this really, really cool, it's a little wooden, like a little duck, that you know, kind of pull it, and you fill it with
yes.
books. It's a little book carrier, and it's really, really cute. So once
so
he starts
fun.
Toddling around, yeah, once he starts toddling around. But I'm going to fill it with books and all that stuff, so.
That's adorable.
Yep. Fun stuff.
All
fun
right.
stuff.
Should we take a break real quick and then we'll come back and talk about what's been going on this week all around the internet?
Sure, absolutely.
All right, we're going to take a quick break. We'll be right back.
Army Wives, it's not your grandma's army anymore.
The military, in this day and age, plays a whole different tune. Army Wife Network is listening. We are Interactive Empowerment for Army Wives, a network of Army Wives band together by the power of social media. Army Wives supporting each other by utilizing the array of resources available from military and civilian-led support systems. Here's what's going on at Army Wife Network this week.
At ease and check it out.
That's right. So we are back and... Paula, did you watch this week? It was a big topic on the internet. The
you know
Concept
what? I
for
did
Valor
not.
On Veterans Day? Yeah, I didn't either, just because we were out and about, and then I got home and I forgot all about it. But it was a big deal. They had some really high-name stars. Carrie Underwood was there. Who else was there? I feel like Blake Shelton was there. I could be wrong on that one. But I know for a fact that Eminem was there. Apparently, he dropped some four-letter words that start with F, and it was a big hubbub all over the internet. Do you feel like it ruined it? Do you feel like it cheapened it? Twitter lit up with complaints, many saying it was not appropriate to use explicit language at an outdoor free concert on the Mall in Washington, D.C., or in a concert being broadcast on unscrambled HBO outlets to military members around the world between the hours of 7 p.m. and 10 p.m. This idea for the concert came from HBO chairman and CEO Richard Pipler. The acts all approached about 3 months ago were meant to be a mix of rock, country, bluegrass, heavy metal, soul, and rap to offer something that would appeal to everyone. So says HBO, Quentin Schaefer. As for the language, it's HBO. So I've heard far worse. Well, there are only a couple, I feel like, that are really far worse. But I've heard them on HBO. So what do you think, everyone? Hashtag ArmyWise and let us know if you thought it was too much, if maybe you had your kids leave the room when Eminem came on, or is it Eminem and it's HBO and you kind of get what you get. So it's a big hot topic on the internet.
Yeah, I didn't watch it. Of course, I don't watch TV. I mean, I very rarely watch anything, and if I do watch it, it's usually on CMT and I'm listening to music. I mean, I just don't watch stuff. But no, I definitely did not watch that. But I did hear and read about, you know, everybody being upset about it. So yeah, so tell us what you thought about that. So over Army Wife Network's co-founder, Tara, she wrote about making battle buddies and keeping the conversation going in her blog titled Battle Buddies, Let's Give You Something to Talk About. What are your go-to questions that you ask when you get to know people? Do situations such as this where questions become a priority to keep everyone talking, do they make you anxious or nervous? Do you shy away from them? Why or why not? So tell us what you think. Check out her blog on armywifenetwork.com under the experience section of Army Life, and give us some feedback and talk about it. What about you, Allison? Do you find yourself nervous or anxious when you're questioned?
So I would have said no to you 18 months ago, but now that we are in a non-military community, yes. There are times that it makes me more nervous.
Oh,
because I feel like sometimes that my answer won't be understood, or I'll have to explain it in depth, you know, go to a level of conversation with someone that I may not have expected to go to. Whereas on an installation, I felt like everybody kind of speaks the same language, or at least has a grasp of the language. Here, I feel like it's a different show, I feel like.
Mm-hmm.
Does that make sense?
Yeah. Oh no, it does make sense. It does make sense. It's because it really does depend on the environment that you're in, whether you're a little more reserved or whether you share a little bit more. I can see that. I can see that for sure.
But hey, Paula, you know what helps with finding battle buddies and figuring out how to make it all work?
Tell us, Allison. What helps?
Do you want to know? Our field exercises help with those things, and we just happened to be having one later this week at Fortsville, Oklahoma. We are coming to Fortsville this week, this Thursday, Friday. There is still time to register if you haven't. We are super excited to be there. We can't wait to meet you all. If you have registered and your pal has not, drag your pal to your computer and register them now. Head on over to, ready, www.armywifenetwork.com/user_event.php, and you too can be a part of the Battle Buddies fun and figure out how to make friends and answer those questions in a composed and collected way. Right?
And it is a lot of fun. It really is.
So you'll
walk out of there, you know, meeting new people and having connections that you didn't realize that you had. So definitely take advantage of it and come see this crazy group of people, because we sure
crazy,
enjoy doing
it. They're a good kind of crazy. We're crazy,
exactly.
But we're the good kind. So come over if you're in the Fortsville area, if you're stationed at Fortsville, if you are a guard or reserve or Navy or Air Force family that lives in the area. We would love to see your faces, too, in Forksville this Thursday and Friday. So head on over and register now because you don't want to miss it.
That's right. That's right. Well, last but not least, it's public service announcement time. Do you or your business have a military-related PSA? We limit them to one per show and ask for them at least 10 days in advance. If you do have one, please shoot us an email at info@armywifenetwork.com so that we can get it in the queue for an upcoming show. But tonight we've got Decorated Family Serving Those Who Serve Us. This holiday season, Christmas decor will be bringing a little extra holiday spirit into the homes of military families with its annual Decorated Family program. With more than 300,000 American soldiers deployed overseas this holiday season, families across the nation are facing the challenge of preparing for the holidays without their loved ones. CORE has stepped in to light up the homes of the families of these brave men and women. Each holiday, hundreds of Christmas decor franchises nationwide participate in this program by donating their products, resources, and time to decorate the homes of local military families as part of the Decorated Family Program. The Decorated Family Program began in 2003 after a franchisee attended a holiday dinner party and began to consider all of the military members overseas who will not be able to celebrate with those they love. The program's spread quickly throughout the franchise system and is now in its sixth official season. Christmas Decor franchises are proud to have found an extra special way to thank our country's soldiers for their dedication and support by decorating their families' homes. People can nominate deserving military families in their community by filling out the nomination form available on the Christmas Decor fan page on Facebook. The form allows people to explain why the family should become a Christmas Decor decorated family. Winners are awarded based on their location to ensure there is a local franchise to provide the award and the impact of their story on the judges. Now, the deadline for nominations is November 21st, so it is right around the corner. So to ensure proper time to prepare and plan for the wonderful gift of lights, check them out on facebook.com/Christmas Decor to get all of the information and to nominate a deserving military family. And that's it for our PSA. Coming up next after these quick commercial breaks is AWN's New 6 Corey bringing you the Need to Know stories. We'll be right back.
While defending our nation, your active duty service member can protect their family smiles with the TRICARE Dental Program, TDP. It's dental protection that's deserved. This dedicated military service entitles spouses and or children and members of the National Guard or Reserve to receive comprehensive dental coverage. Plus, money can be saved. We offer affordable monthly premiums for an individual depending on sponsor status with little or no cost shares on many dental services. But don't forget, TRICARE dental coverage requires enrollment. The TRICARE medical program options do not include TRICARE dental coverage. Call 1-855-MET-TDP-1 or visit us online at tricare.mil/TDP for more details. So your family's smiles are protected and you can start saving today. Again, that number is 1-855-MET-TDP-1 or visit us online at tricare.mil/TDP. Are you looking to reach military families worldwide? Do you have a product or service to offer our listeners? Advertise with the Army Wife Network. AWN has many advertising options specifically designed to reach our military families. Visit armywifenetwork.com for details. You're listening to the AWTR Live News 6 Report.
Our life, our family, our soldier, news you can use.
Now, with our headlines, it's our own AWN News 6.
Good evening, Army family. This is your News 6, Corey, giving you your need-to-know news. In our first story, the chairman of the U.S. Joint Chiefs of Staff made an unannounced visit to Iraq this week to assess the campaign against ISIL. General Martin Dempsey's unannounced visit to Iraq came just 2 days after he told Congress that the United States would consider dispatching a modest number of American forces to fight with Iraqi troops against ISIL. Dempsey told Congress that while the Iraqi military and security forces were seen to be struggling against ISIL this past summer, they're doing a better job now, and that any expansion of U.S. forces in the region would be a modest one. I just don't foresee a circumstance when it would be in our interest to take this fight on ourselves with a large military contingent, he said. Dempsey's spokesman said the general plans to visit U.S. troops, commanders, and the Iraqi leaders. The primary purpose of his visit is to get a first-hand look at the situation in Iraq, receive briefings, and get a better sense of how the campaign is progressing. The quarantine site at Baumholder is ready for troops returning from the Ebola mission in West Africa. The first group of U.S. troops scheduled to be isolated in Army barracks at Baumholder
on returning home from an Ebola-related mission in West Africa could arrive this weekend, and Baumholder is ready for them. Those quarantined at Baumholder will spend 21 days living in a tightly controlled environment among a complex of buildings, surrounded by a fence on the edge of Baumholder's Smith Barracks. Twice daily temperature checks are required to ensure soldiers remain symptom-free. The quarantine barracks have been equipped with pool and foosball tables, fitness equipment, game consoles, flat-screen TVs, laptops with webcams, and books and magazine kits. Soldiers being quarantined are all determined to be low risk, said Colonel Sean Wells, commander of U.S. Army Garrison Rhineland-Pfalz. That means that they've been setting up tents, they've been working in these labs, not making any contact with Ebola patients. Last month, Secretary of Defense Chuck Hagel ordered the quarantine for troops who spend time on the ground supporting U.S. humanitarian aid efforts in three hard-hit countries in West Africa. The policy goes beyond guidance from the U.S. Centers for Disease Control and Prevention. Two new restaurant chains, Chick-fil-A and Boston Market, will be opening restaurants on U.S. military bases around the world. New restaurants are planning to bring fried chicken and home-style cooking to U.S. military bases around the world. Chick-fil-A will begin to open operate locations at overseas bases in late 2015 with its first location in Kaiserslautern, Germany, according to Sergeant First Class Aaron Eastman, a spokesman with the Army and Air Force Exchange Service. Eastman said AFIS is in talks with Chick-fil-A to establish more restaurants in the European and Pacific regions. Boston Market is currently in discussion with AFIS to open 10 restaurants on bases in the United States, Eastman said. The chain is in its first military location in October in Fort Bliss, Texas, and opened its second on Fort Meade, Maryland, earlier this month. And those are your need-to-know news stories for this week. Stay tuned to the Army Wife Network Twitter feed and Facebook page for updates throughout the week. This is your News 6, Corey, signing off.
Remember when you saw the homeless woman in the snow and you almost volunteered to work in a soup kitchen? Or when you saw the news report about wounded soldiers and you almost visited the Veterans Hospital? Or when you almost brought dinner to your neighbor with AIDS? Remember all those times you almost helped? You meant to, but somehow you forgot. You were too busy and it slipped your mind. Well, it's only human, this almost giving. But if you almost gave, there's a good chance everybody else almost gave too. Which means it's quite possible there was no soup kitchen at all, that no one visited those vets, and that your neighbor never got that hot meal. Because almost giving is the same as not giving at all. Don't almost give. Give. To find out how, visit our website at don'talmostgive.org. This message brought to you by the...
You're listening to Army Wife Talk Radio live here on the Army Wife Network. Our live show is broadcast every Monday night. Join us in our live chat room at blogtalkradio.com/AWTR. Missed the live show or just can't make it? Don't worry. AWTR is available in archived format 24/7 via our website, www.armywifenetwork.com, or on iTunes. It's interactive empowerment for Army Wives by Army Wives. Now, back to the show.
Welcome back to Army Wife Talk Radio. I'm your host, Allison Poulter.
And I'm your co-host, Paula Swanson. Tonight we have with us Linda Spangle. RN MA is a weight management coach recognized nationally as a leading authority on emotional eating and other psychological issues of weight loss. A registered nurse with a master's degree in health education, Linda is the owner of Weight Loss for Life, a healthy lifestyles coaching and training program located in Denver, Colorado.
Linda's newest book is Friends with the Scale, How to Turn Your Scale into a Powerful Weight Loss Tool. Welcome to our show, Linda. How are you this evening?
I am doing great. Thank you so much for having me on.
We're thrilled to have you. How are you?
You know what? I'm doing good. But I will tell you, if I ever am speeding in one of your states, I hope you'll give me a little of that Southern hospitality.
I thought that was pretty ingenious myself.
I think that's great. I wish you'd been doing ride along a few times when I was caught speeding because I wasn't quite so fortunate.
Oh, it was fun. It was fun. So tell us a little bit about yourself and where you're calling from tonight, Linda.
Certainly. I'm actually in Arvada, Colorado, which is simply a suburb of Denver, where we've already had below zero temperatures the last week and about half, 6-8 inches of snow. I don't know why we're having winter early. It's just been crazy. So I do want to tell you, also, my husband was in the Navy Reserve for 18 years, and I have so much respect for people in the armed services, and especially Army, because I know there's a whole lot of work that gets done in that division of the service that, most people don't even know about. And because of my husband's time in the military, at least I think I have a little understanding of some of what it's like, including when you guys are dealing with long times of deployment and then having them suddenly come home for a little bit and then leave again. Those are hard, hard days sometimes.
They are.
Yes, they are.
I don't think you're going to hear many arguments from our side of the interview stairs. Linda, let's talk about it. So the long visits, the short deployments, how does that translate to the scale? Can you tell us about the scale? What is it about this that piqued your interest and made you dig in to this phenomenon of the scale and what it means for women and what it means in times of stress?
Sure. And you're right about the stress part. I've been a weight loss coach for many, many years, and one of the things that I have found, I just hear the same stories over and over where people will tell me, I was doing really well with my weight loss plan, I was doing great, and then I got on the scale and it didn't change or even it went up, and they're like, why am I bothering? This is just crazy. So they kind of throw the whole diet plan out the window, and that's kind of why I got interested in working on this and why I wrote this book, Friends with the Scale, because I think there has to be a way to approach that differently. I'll tell you a quick story. I had a lady I worked with who her husband won a vacation to Florida. So they went on this wonderful trip and had this beach house and this rental convertible and tickets to Disney World and stuff. She came back and I said, well, how was your trip? Did you have a great time? No, she said, I was miserable. I said, you're kidding. What was wrong? She said, every morning I would wake up and I would look outside at those beautiful surroundings, and then I would wonder what I weighed, and without my scale, I didn't know what kind of day to have. Now, that to me is just tragic. That's someone who was not friends with her scale. She was obsessed with her scale, and that is not a healthy direction at all.
That's the truth.
I don't know. It's like she's a slave to it. I mean, that's...
She really was. Yeah.
I mean, that's really... I mean, talk about a love-hate relationship with the scale. That's to the extreme.
Yeah, isn't it, though?
Yeah.
And, a lot of people do have that, what you mentioned, the love-hate relationship.
Mm-hmm.
I'll tell you about another lady. She had reached the point where every day she said, I would weigh myself and I would kind of measure my worth as a person. I would decide if I was a successful person or not based on what the scale said. She said, finally one day I decided I'd had it. So she took her scale outside in the driveway and she beat it to death with a sledgehammer. And then she took it in the house and she hung it on her wall like a deer head trophy. And she said what that did, though, was it broke that connection of thinking that her personal worth was depending on some stupid number on the scale. You know, eventually she actually got a scale again, and she retrained herself and was able to be a lot healthier about it.
Okay.
But isn't that funny how she beat it up?
It is, because it's like, there's one extreme. There's either you love it or you hate it. But how can we overcome this, each spectrum and just become friends with it and it be a healthy relationship?
Sure. I think the first thing is recognize that the number on the scale is just data, is just a number. It has nothing to do. In fact, sometimes it's not even reflecting your actions very well because, it bounces around and it does weird things. So if you can say to yourself, okay, it's just data, it's just a number, tomorrow it'll probably be different. Over long time, it tells me if I'm making progress with my weight, but it doesn't tell me that in a matter of one reading this morning. So you have to detach from it and treat it as data.
Mm. That's true.
Some of the data, though, I feel like, let's take your woman that went on the Florida cruise, for instance. We have in our head, and in recent years, lots of books and lots of professionals have suggested throwing away the scale and not using one at all, like your lady did the back gate over with her car and hung on the wall. How do we find that balance, and how do we use it as a tool, and what is your opinion on finding that balance of using the scale but not letting the scale use you?
Yeah, that is such a great question. First of all, I think there are some people who should not use a scale. You know, they just simply get so obsessed with it. And I think if for them, there are some people that it's healthier to not have a scale at all. I have clients who do that, and I think it's fine. But I also think for most people, it's good to have a scale, and that, in fact, to use it as sort of a check-in tool to monitor how things are going. Otherwise, you know how easy it is to go, well, I'm probably fine, but I'm not going to get on the scale because I don't want to know, you know, that form of denial. So I think that, you know, there shouldn't be a blanket statement that everyone should throw away their scale. I think a lot of people do well to actually weigh themselves at intervals, some people daily and some, you know, less often. But I'm one of them. I definitely use my scale because it's a tool and it helps me keep an eye on how things are going.
Okay, well, that's a good question, though. So how often do you suggest people weigh themselves? I mean, like you said, some people can do it daily and it's not that big of an issue. Some people can do it weekly. What is a good way to gauge that?
I think it's different for everyone. I think there are some people, especially when people are involved in a really strong weight loss plan, I think that weighing themselves daily is a good idea. You record the number, you can watch it over time and maybe make a little graph with it to kind of see the trend that it's doing. Other people are fine if they weigh themselves once a week. If you're going to weigh yourself once a week, by the way, do you know which day is the best day for that? It's Wednesday. It's not Monday, because on weekends, we always do things different. We eat a little bit differently. We exercise differently. And so a Monday morning weight, you'll almost always be retaining some fluid from the weekend, especially as women. So if wait and weigh yourself on Wednesday or Thursday, you're going to get a more consistent reading on the scale.
Rather than on a Saturday or Sunday.
Yeah,
I feel like if I had to plan it myself, I would weigh myself every Saturday because that would be the worst number, and I could only go get better from there. That would be my plan. But that's
you know what?
My
a
brain
lot
works.
Of people, a lot of people do that. But my goal in my work with people in this area is become healthy about how you manage the scale. And, you know, it shouldn't be punishment. Oh, dear, look at how bad I was all week. And, you know, now I better, like, sharpen up here and take care of things. That's really old, what I call old-style diet thinking. I would much rather have you treat the scale as a tool and just say, okay, it gives me information, and I know that midweek is the most accurate day for that information, and don't let it punish me because I think I wasn't doing as well as I should have on my healthy eating plan.
How often would you suggest doing that, Linda? How often would you suggest we weigh ourselves, generally speaking?
You know, I really think most people do well at least once a week. But again, it's individual. I have one client who weighs himself once a month on the 15th of the month. He says, every month, that's when I get on the scale. And that works for him because he doesn't want to get hung up in those numbers the rest of the time. So I think it's individual. But I'll tell you a couple of ideas. There are a couple times when you absolutely should not get on the scale. Are you ready?
Yeah, what is that? When is that time?
The first one is after you've been traveling. You know, anytime you travel, whether it's by plane or by car for a long time or bus, anywhere, what happens, especially again as women, your fluid kind of, you're just going to retain some fluid. And so if you travel and the next morning you hop on the scale, you could see a scale number that's actually up 2, 3, even 4 pounds higher than your true weight number is. So one of the rules that I suggest for people is if you've been traveling, always wait 3 days before you get on the scale. And the reason is it takes somewhere between 48 to 72 hours for your body to get back in balance. And what you're going to do if you weigh yourself prior to that is you're just going to freak out. And that's not being healthy about the scale.
You know what? That's really good to know. And that's a good reminder, especially because the majority of the AWN team is going to be traveling this week. So I know Miss Tara needs to she'll hear this too, because we're all working toward goals and losing weight and that sort of stuff. But it can be discouraging after you come back from traveling and you're like, wait a second, I really didn't eat that much, but that makes a lot more sense.
Yeah, so just traveling in itself causes you to retain fluid.
Absolutely.
Are there some other times too, Linda? Like, so not traveling. What about pregnancy and weighing yourself? Does the schedule change? Does the data change?
Yeah.
How
pregnancy
you process
is, of course,
it, and are there other times?
Pregnancy, of course, is a whole other story. With that, I really would say that needs to be dealt with your physician, because everyone is very individual with that, and keeping an eye on weight during pregnancy is very crucial. So I'm not going to offer any input on that, but I will give you a couple of other times that I think most people, it's good to not get on the scale. Besides traveling, anytime you've had like a holiday or a celebration, you're like, we got Thanksgiving coming up, do not get on the scale the morning after Thanksgiving. It's just, again, it's punishment because even if you really managed a Thanksgiving meal very well with your family and stuff, it's just still different, and you're going to retain some fluid, and after a couple of days, it'll balance back out. So that's another time. You know, when you're sick, we know, sometimes we get hooked into this, like, wow, I've been throwing up for 3 days. I'll bet I really lost a lot of weight. Except, of course, you really didn't. You just dumped off a lot of fluid. So instead of playing that game with the scale, wait at least a few days until you know you're really better. Same if you ever have surgery or a procedure, you know, give yourself some time there. And then the last one I think is important is when you feel really vulnerable, you know, like if you've had, you know, a weekend where you know you had a lot of different food, alcohol, any kinds of changes and stuff, and maybe you're feeling kind of anxious or now you're extra lonely or something, man, that is not the time to get on the scale and beat yourself up further. Does that make sense?
That's true. But we had a really good question, though, in our tweet chat, too.
Yeah.
So do you see that people use travel and or a holiday as a, quote-unquote, excuse to not weigh, though? I mean, do you think some people might do that in order not to be held accountable or holding themselves accountable?
You know, that's a tricky thing. Because if you're depending on the scale to hold you accountable, I think you're going to be in trouble. I think that if you want to track what you're doing, that's a good way to be accountable. You know, keep a journal of your eating and maybe your exercise and stuff. But if you're depending on the scale for either accountability or for motivation, you're going to be in trouble because it just bounces around too much. And, you know, again, if you weigh yourself right after a trip, go, oh, no, see how bad I was. That's not being healthy about using the scale as a tool. Even though I realize that's what a lot of us have done forever, I think it's time to change that pattern.
That's the truth. Hey, Linda, while we come to a good stopping point, let's take a quick break, and we'll come right back. Don't forget, the AWN Core team has some fun discussion taking place and a giveaway in our Twitter chat over at twitter.com/ArmyWives Network, using the hashtag ArmyWives to participate. When we come back, let's talk more about how we use that scale as a tool and how we take that data and bring some positive change from that data. So we are going to take a quick break, and we will be right back.
Love where you live. When you move into a Corvius home, you'll find more than just convenient on-post housing at 7 Army installations across the country. You'll also find fun family events, upscale fitness centers, resort-style pools, and more. Our award-winning customer service, 24-hour maintenance, and smiling faces are just waiting to welcome you. Love your next home at CorviusMilitaryLiving.com. That's CorviusMilitaryLiving.com.
This is Maria Murphy with Simply Put Together and the Me Minute. This month, make sure to give yourself a sweet treat every single day this month. At the beginning of each week, grab your planner and write down something you will do for yourself every day this week. Yes, it could be stopping for a treat at your favorite candy shop, or it could be scheduling time for a hot bubble bath or taking a nature walk. What matters is something that tastes sweet to you gets put on your schedule every single day. Before long, you'll be in the habit of doing something sweet for yourself every day of the month. This is Maria Murphy. If you'd like to learn some more tips and tools, go to simplyputtogether.com. If you're interested in my coaching, you can go to mariamurphycounseling.com. But in the meantime, make sure you give yourself one sweet treat every day this month. Put it on the calendar and make it happen. Eventually, it'll be a habit you will love.
Want more? ArmyWifeNetwork.com offers discussion boards, military family resources, Loving a Soldier blog, and much, much more. Tell your friends about AWN with our interactive tools. Visit us online at ArmyWifeNetwork.com. ArmyWifeNetwork.com. Interactive empowerment for Army wives.
Welcome back to the show, Army Wives. We are talking with Linda Spangl, a weight management specialist recognized nationally as a leading authority on emotional eating and other psychological issues of weight loss. Her newest book is Friends with the Scale. Before we went to break, we were sort of delving into the scale games and how we hold ourselves accountable using the scale, how we may choose not to use the scale so we don't have to be held accountable. You discourage scale games. What are some of the biggest scale games people play, do you feel?
Oh, that is a great question. I think a lot of us have done these now and then, even though we don't mean to. The first one is, you know, when you move the scale around on the floor and try it again to see if you can get a better reading. You know, the best way to manage your scale is leave it in one spot and figure whatever it says is what it says. But, you know, we move it around. A lot of people will take off their jewelry, make sure that their hair is dry. I had one lady who would not put her contacts in until she had weighed herself. Now, how crazy is that?
Oh, you know? My gosh.
So I think another one is when you weigh yourself during the day, you know, the only real accurate weight you're going to get is if you weigh yourself in the morning. And so if you weigh yourself at night, I had a lady who said, well, I wanted to see how much damage the cupcake did. It's like, excuse me, honey,
you can't really tell
by an evening weight. So I think it's better to stay off the scale entirely during the main part of a day and into the evening.
Hey, we did, Linda, have another question, though, from our Twitter feed. And for somebody that has a job, say, like driving a truck or an office job and they sit a lot and they don't have a whole lot of activity going on, when's the best time for them to weigh, do you think?
Yeah, again, great question, because that's certainly a common kind of thing, especially somebody who's on the over the road and things like that. You have to kind of figure it out yourself. If the main thing would just be consistent, so that even if it's that you get home, wait one day, and then, you know, you get on the scale the day after that, just so that you know being on the road and traveling is always going to affect you some. The desk job is a tough one because, boy, ideally we should all try to be figuring out some kind of ways to get activity and exercise. I hate to use that word because it's like a four-letter word. But
right.
We can try to, you know, keep ourselves going because it makes all the difference in so many ways in our lives, doesn't it?
Yeah, definitely. Definitely.
Absolutely. Linda, so we were talking about moving the scale around the floor and taking off our jewelry and only weighing yourself naked and all of those other things that I only know because maybe I've tried them a time or two in my life. What is the one that works? You've got one that works that really is legitimate, right?
Absolutely. It's real simple. It just simply weigh yourself in the morning, first thing before you eat or drink, either with no clothes or minimal clothes, and here's the three steps. Step on the scale, note the number, step off the scale, and then leave the room. You can write it down if you want, but don't go back and try it again, and don't get hung up on it. Just go, okay, there's my data for today. It's kind of like you look at the thermometer outside to see what the temperature is. You don't run back a minute later and go, let's see if it changed. You know, you simply go, fine. At this point, that's the temperature.
Do you think it's a good idea with all of the apps and fitness apps and that sort of thing that is out there, do you think it's a good idea for people to actually put it in there and track it and you know, keep a running total? Or do you think very, you know, kind of hooked on that?
You know, I think for a lot of people, the tracking can be very, very useful. But here's what you have to do. You know, if you were investing in the stock market and you looked at your investment on one particular day, you might freak and go, oh no, it went the wrong direction, I better hurry up and sell all of it. Well, you don't do that. In the stock market, you watch what the trending is for your stocks. Okay, in your scale weight, it's the same thing. Instead of thinking that one day's number is telling you the truth, you watch the trending. And a lot of people do find that apps and recording online on some of the programs online and stuff is a great way to keep an eye on it, but it allows you to watch the trending, and that's really the part that matters most. Are you trending the right direction or are you not?
That's good. That kind of helps to keep you accountable as well.
Yeah.
So, Linda, if we're on track with you, this probably isn't an issue, because if you're weighing yourself every day, you sort of know what you're walking into when you go to those annual or semi-annual doctor's appointments. But let's say we don't weigh ourselves a whole lot, and we sort of go by the pant size and pray. People dread going to the doctors because we hate getting on the scale, and I say we because I'm included in that population. How can I get past that dreaded doctor scale? Do I go get a scale and put it in my bathroom so I sort of know what I'm expecting? Or are there some other ways to do it too?
You know, absolutely. That is such a great question. I've had so many of my clients and readers tell me they dread going to the doctor's office because they know they're going to have to get on the scale. The interesting thing is, first of all, the doctor's scale isn't necessarily a God scale. It may or may not be accurate. So you can't get too hung up on that number. But here's a fascinating thing. A lot of people don't realize this, but you probably do not have to get on the scale at the doctor's office. It's not usually required. And so when you go in and they say, okay, here we took your temperature, now I'd like you to step on the scale, you can just say something like, you know, I'd rather not be weighed today, and kind of wait and see what they say. Now, I've had when somebody has said, oh, you know, it's required here, and I say, well, what I'd like to do is wait and meet with the doctor first, and then if I still need to be weighed, I can do it then. I went in once with a twisted ankle, and I used that line, and we worked on my ankle, and then I left and walked out the door. I never got on the scale. So there's ways that you can get out of it that way. Now, once in a while with certain, you know, medications and treatments and stuff, they do have to have a weight. But just know that what it says on their scale has nothing to do with your morning weight on your scale. So you can do things like tell them you don't want to know the number. You can close your eyes or look at the ceiling or even stand backwards and just say, I'd prefer not to know the number because I know it's different than my scale and mine's the one I go by. So see, there's lots of ways to kind of get out of feeling like you're getting punished by that stupid doctor's scale.
Hmm.
It does get me every time I go.
Yeah,
it's hard.
You know, because you know just as well as I do, it never, ever, ever matches the scale at your house.
No, in fact,
it
you know what?
Does.
I went once and had nothing but some coffee and a real light breakfast, and I went to a doctor's office and stepped on the scale, and I weighed 7 pounds more than I had that morning at home.
I would have asked
them
when the last time was that they calibrated that thing.
Exactly. Exactly. So, again, the place that we as women especially, we have to stand in our own power instead of giving our power up to a physician's office and their scale. So I think it's very legitimate to say, I decline or I choose not to be weighed. And if they want to fight you on it, well, give them a chance
right.
And then figure out some other plan because usually we can win.
That's right. Well, how can people avoid that failure thinking when they've stayed perfectly on their diet, but the scale number, it goes up, it doesn't go down? And I know a lot of people are going to say, well, if you're exercising and if you're more active, then of course muscle weighs more than fat, and, you know, and all this other kind of stuff. But that's not always the case.
You know, the bottom line is there are so many things that can affect the scale reading. In fact, in the book Friends with the Scale, there's one chapter that is 14 factors that can affect the scale. And we know a lot of them, you know, like, you know, your hormone balance and how much water you've drank. But do you know there's even things like the barometric pressure? When it changes, it can actually cause you to retain fluid, and it'll affect your scale reading. So I think the biggest thing is, just remember how I said a little bit ago, treat that scale reading as data. Tell yourself, okay, it's just a number, and tomorrow it'll be another number. And instead of thinking that it's something you've done, just say, oh, there's probably something I don't even know about that's affecting it today, and I'll ignore it, and watch the trending instead.
I have a quick interjection in addition to this question. Do you in your coaching and in your training approach male and female clients differently because they have different body structures, body makeups, body needs, generally speaking?
Yeah.
Or is your philosophy pretty standard regardless of gender?
You know, the point you're making, first of all, is that men lose weight way differently than women. And, you know, it's a curse. It's just something we're stuck with because they always will. But I do approach it pretty much the same, and because I've had some men who were very hung up on the scale too. So I think it's back to, you've just got to take care of yourself. You do the things that you know matter, eating really healthy, doing your exercise as best you can, and working a lot on coping with life in ways that don't mean reaching for food as a solution, because, whoa, that's the thing right there that I think gets us in trouble a lot. Don't you think?
Agreed. Definitely.
How can we avoid, so we get to that point, and we all know we're using the scale as a tool, and we're exercising, and we're committing to a healthier lifestyle, and we all reach it, and I'm curious how you feel that we should get through it. We could go weeks with the scale in the same spot or within a pound or two of the exact same spot. What helpful tips and tricks do you have to break that plateau cycle?
Oh, my goodness, and those things happen and they drive you nuts, don't they? Yeah, I think that most people at some point in a weight loss trend, if you will, are going to hit a plateau, and who knows why? There's a lot of reasons for it. Sometimes your body is just sort of adapting and adjusting to things, and then it'll kick up again in a week or two. But one of the things that I found helps, switch things up. I had a lady I worked with a few years ago. She'd lost 40 pounds. She still needed to lose 30 more. This lady was hilarious. Every morning at 5:30, she got up, she put on her workout shoes, and went out the door and did this 30-minute walk. Then she'd come home, and she was a creature of habit, so she ate pretty much the same foods every day. And I would review her food records, and I knew that she was within her calorie range and everything was appropriate, but her scale had gotten stuck, and she went several weeks of no change. What we did, I said, what you've got to change is switch up your exercise. And I said, I want you to change your activity so that some days you walk, some days you might ride a bike, maybe some days you go to your gym and you swim. And then the other thing I had her do with her walking, I said alternate, walk a little bit faster pace for a few minutes, then slow it down a little bit, then speed it up again a little bit so that it's not quite so same, because I think her body had just adapted totally to things. Okay, so she did all of that, and it was interesting because the first week it wasn't much change, and by the second week, her scale started to drop again, and she actually was able to get off the last 30 pounds just fine.
Wow. Wow, that's incredible.
Isn't that a neat story?
That's a great story. That's an incredibly awesome story. All right, so you got me. You got me. Where can I go now to find and buy this book? Where do we go?
Okay.
Tell me about where we go.
certainly. I've got some really helpful information on a lot of things on my website, which is weightlossjoy.com. So it's weightlossjoy.com. And you can also get Friends with the Scale at Amazon. It's available as a print book, but also as a Kindle. So you can download it and start reading it tonight.
Awesome.
That's fantastic. Linda, thank you so much for being with us tonight. We did not have a Starbucks Twitter winner.
Thank you for having me on. I have just loved it. It's been fun, and I've been doing a little bit of reading the tweets and stuff, too. It's just great to be a part of you guys tonight. I love it. Thank you so much.
Oh, thank you for coming, Linda, and talking with us. We don't have a Twitter winner tonight, everyone, over at Starbucks. So next week, come back, and we will try again. Next week is November the 24th. On the show, we are featuring Stephen Sayers, author of Coming Back Together, A Guide to Successful Reintegration After Your Partner Returns from Military Deployment. So you don't want to miss it.
In the meantime, though, join us on ArmyWifeNetwork.com to stay connected to resources, information, expert columnists, and share the journey with many of our experienced contributors, or follow along on any of our social media outlets such as Facebook, Twitter, Pinterest, Instagram, or even YouTube.
That is right. We are interactive empowerment for Army Wives by Army Wives. And this is Army Wives Network's core team signing out. Good night, y'all.
Good night.
The views and opinions expressed in our show are personal. Army Wife Talk Radio is in no way affiliated with the Department of Defense or any other branch of the armed services, and inclusion in our show does not reflect endorsement by the DOD, any local government, or their agencies. Thank you for listening, and be sure to tune in again next week for another informative edition of Army Wife Talk Radio.